Well, good afternoon, and thank you all for tuning in to the Raymond Hall Show. My name is Raymond Hall, and I'm here with co-host Erica Flynn Walker.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And we are here with our distinguished guest, Dr. Payne. And Dr. Payne is the creator of House Calls, which we talked about extensively last week, and we're going to be talking about CPR and some other things today. I put my foot in my mouth, huh? I said, hey, I'm going to sit by the door and I'm not going to be late. Well, some things change and some things don't. So the best laid plans of mice and men.
Mums is the word.
Mums is the word. Okay. Well, we're still here in the month of February, and it is Black History Month, as people commonly call it. You and I had an interesting conversation.
Yes.
Mrs. Walker and I had an interesting conversation. And you were in the community and someone said that if they did the right thing, there would be no need for Black History Month.
Well, we know they were just talking, okay?
So. Well, I took it a step further because I actually thought, you know, with everything that we're doing, I've been looking at this, especially from the service point of view, Black soldiers getting recognized like we talked about last week. And when you just get so involved, I see now why you talked about you have to back out of the internet because sometimes you get so involved and whatever, and sometimes you can't get away from this thing.
Yes.
But when you look at it, if you truly were to look at a nation where everyone stood on their service, there really would be no need for Black History Month.
Wow.
In its purest sense, because everybody would stand on their service. And when we look at the service of the African American in America, when we look at the contributions made by African Americans, and that story was clearly told, the Black History Month would be something that would be told 12 months of the year.
Right.
Correct, correct. As opposed to just 1 month out of 12.
One month out of the 12.
They give us 1 month.
Okay. So it was, while you could dismiss what the person said on the surface, truly deep down in, if you can regulate it to 1 month, there's still some prejudices and barriers and all kinds of things that we have to deal with, deal with right there. So we're still here in the month.
Yes, we are.
And today is February the 8th, so I'm going to stay at the doghouse in two ways. Today is my daughter Tiffany's birthday, so baby, happy birthday
from your dad.
Happy birthday,
yeah,
Tiffany.
Yeah, we want to put that in right now. And then Valentine's Day is Wednesday.
Woohoo!
Yes, it is.
Okay, the day before the show.
Okay.
So the next time we see each other, the good Lord let us, it'll be a day after Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay. I was going to wear my red today for Valentine's Day. That's all right. I'll see you next week with that hot red for
Valentine's
Day.
I can't speak on the other side of the fence. The ladies, you can talk to the ladies, but I'm going to set me in to, you know something. Don't forget, write it down, put it in your note, your whatever it is that help you out with. Okay. Don't forget it. Because at my age, 65, that doghouse is a cold situation.
And it's small.
It's small, too, man.
It's tight.
And it's different than a warm bed.
It's different than a warm bed.
So okay? Get it together, young man.
You know, your phone be blowing up. Oh, I thought I was calling somebody that cared about me. You know?
The funniest thing about Valentine's Day, when you drive around the city at around 5 or 6 in the evening, see all these guys running around crazy trying to get the few last dead flowers
right.
The last bit of candy,
right.
Trying to make some reservations. You can always tell them because
right.
They're frantic, they're crazy, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
They got to get something
right.
Do that. But it's always funny. I make a special, you know, thing just to kind of look at young men, you know, around 5 or 6 in the evening on Valentine's Day, frantically trying, and they had all day.
They all had that same look on their face.
Well, see, you hit it there, young man.
Yeah.
You have to get to that point where, you know, let me take care of this early. I went to a workshop yesterday, and late at night I'm trying to bring it down. And there was a show where the man talked about he needed an alibi. He was on this job and he needed an alibi. Said, well, what did you do? Well, I went and got my girlfriend a Valentine's present. He said, well, what'd you get her? I got her a vacuum cleaner. And so they went to laughing. Man, you don't know about it. And he said, look, where I came from, to make her happy, I'm going to get her what she wants. She said she wanted a vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I thought about that. I said, now, if somebody has got to sweep a floor, a vacuum cleaner looks pretty doggone good.
Yeah, that's a significant gift that will last longer than a dead flower.
Dead flower.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. But put the flowers on the side of the vacuum cleaner.
There it goes. You know, spoken like a woman from a woman's perspective.
Exactly.
You know, okay, that's smart.
It could even be one stem.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be, yeah, you know.
Just a show of, just a show of affection and love.
Exactly. You
know? Well, that's what they want.
Yeah. I'm in a different place now. I just don't take days for granted.
Never again.
So that person that helps me, the people around me, you included, that helped me, I'm not running around with no roses, but I'm going to make sure I say thank you.
There you go.
Because it, you know, I don't know whether I'm going to get another one.
Yeah.
So how you been?
I've been very well. How have you been?
I've been okay. You, that company of yours, I don't know whether you working on the company or company working on you, that I'm a luxury.com.
Yes, we're still under construction, but we are up and running. So you can go to I'm a luxury.com and take a look at all of our lovely findings there. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at I'm a luxury.com 24/7. Well, okay. I'm a luxury 24/7 at Instagram.
So I'm trying to plug this for the Valentine's. You fellas that run out of time, you ain't got, you just ain't got time. Go there, okay? I'm sure they'll be happy. Let's get to the show.
Okay, let's get started. Today, right. Again, my name is Erica Flynn Walker, and I am the co-host of The Raymond Hall Show. We'd like to welcome our guest, Dr. Payne, here to the table today.
Such a distinguished person.
A distinguished guest. And we want to say that we have an exciting show for the audience today. Our guest today includes Dr. Payne, and he will be talking about his upcoming events in the community.
Okay.
Welcome, Dr. Payne.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege. Yeah, privilege.
Okay. And not only is he a distinguished person in the community, even more so, especially to a community of people, he's the president of American Legion, of American Legion Post 109. And this post is unique to itself in California. Okay. In all of California, there's only one American Legion Post 109, and it's a faith-based post.
Okay, where is it located?
Well, currently right now, our official location is 4th Avenue and Vernon Boulevard in Los Angeles,
okay,
on the corner of 4th. But we have our meetings at various places just so we can, you know, have more people come, bigger places. But our official location is at Bryan Temple in our AME Church,
which
is on the corner of 4th and Vernon. As Mr. Hall said, we're the only faith-based American Legion Post in the entire state of California.
Okay.
And this is the largest state with more American Legion Posts any place in the country.
Okay. Now, we're going to get to that because we want to talk about that. But first of all, we want to talk about the CPR.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to touch on a few things. We're going to take a quick break, like a little 30-second jazz here, a little jazz. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Payne about the CPR event that's coming up in a few weeks.
Okay, we'll be right back. Thank you. Thank you.
And we are back. Thank you.
Welcome back.
Are back in the studio again with Dr. Payne, and we're talking about the event in the community on February the 24th.
Correct.
Okay. And so the event on the 24th is for CPR. Now, talk to us about the importance of CPR in the community.
Yeah, it's really important. As you know, making your transition is inevitable. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. However, unfortunately, particularly in our community, that transition is made way too soon.
Okay.
And oftentimes it's made because we don't have the proper training to actually save a life. And one of the things CPR does, you know, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, what it really means that you're resuscitating the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And because normally most people who have a heart attack, they're not dead. Their heart is just in spasm.
Okay.
And if you can stimulate that heart with compression, then you have a good chance of restarting that heart. So if your heart stops in a heart attack, 99% of the time, you're not dead at all.
Okay.
Wow.
You're not, you know, that heart is just in a spasm. And obviously with a spasm, you can't pump blood.
Okay.
So the job of the person doing the CPR is to get that heart started again.
Okay.
And it used to be there was more emphasis placed on breathing rather than actually massaging the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the American Heart Association and the American Red Cross is saying is that we want to emphasize compressions more so than breathing. First of all, a lot of people freak out with the breathing,
right?
You know, but the most important
part is mouth to mouth.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, because if you just do mouth to mouth, you're not really pumping that blood throughout the heart. So now, what they're emphasizing is the main thing is compression.
Okay.
And if you can do compressions at more than 100 times a minute, well, then you have a good chance of restarting that heart.
Wow.
Now, even though, yeah, you want to give a breath every now and then, but the most important thing, and there's been a big shift in this, the most important thing is compressions, compressions, and compressions.
Okay. So a couple of things that we need to know. There's as we know more, we are able to do better. So now we need to move away from the old model, the old thing of what we're thinking, and breathe, one, two, three, four, five, six, breathe, as into so many compressions.
Yeah, right. You know, really what they want you to do is, particularly if you're by yourself, and oftentimes you are by yourself, you know, they want you to give 30 compressions in a breath, 30 compressions in a breath, or 30 compressions in two breaths, you know, et cetera.
It's a combination.
Yes, a combination of, because you want to get some oxygen, obviously.
Into the brain.
You know, as you take a deep breath in and blow it into that patient's lungs, you're getting oxygen into the lungs.
Into the lungs.
But if that heart, see, the main purpose of the heart is to pump blood throughout the body.
Okay.
So if the heart is not working, if you're not pumping, that oxygen just sits there.
Okay.
So the main thing is, even if it's deoxygenated blood with not an oxygen, at least you're pumping it.
Okay.
And particularly to the brain, because you got about 4 minutes for the brain to die without any oxygen. So you have time.
So with
CPR, and it's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, most heart attacks, fatal heart attacks, occur outside the hospital.
Wow.
You know, and there's no doctors and nurses around, so it's up to the average citizen. Many a time, people have died just because no one knew what to do.
Wow. So CPR is, you mentioned First Aid and the Heart Association.
American Heart Association,
So the CPR training is something that is regulated by the Heart Association and CPR.
All CPR instructors are either certified by the American Heart Association or by the American Red Cross.
Okay. And in order
to work in any hospital, clinic, surgery, most businesses, you have to be CPR trained. CPR trained. And it's a requirement.
Okay.
And, you know, they get trained about the full course, and it's good for 2 years.
And do you get the little card?
You get a little card.
You get a card.
And it's good for a couple of years. But everyone who works in
So it's a standard training, and you get a card.
You carry it around in your wallet.
It's standard training done the same way every time. does change every few years because we find out a lot more. Mm-hmm. When I first learned how to do CPR in the 70s, when I was in the military, and I was actually working in a moonlighting in a small hospital in North Carolina, and I just learned CPR. And the first night in this emergency room, I was doing CPR. And the other doctor was in there, an older guy, ran to me and said, "Oh, you're going to hurt the chest. You're going to crush his chest. And you got to stop that," because he had never seen it.
Right.
And like, make a long story short, the patient survived. That was the first time I had done it. I just learned it the day before. But it makes a difference. One thing is for sure, if you don't give that person CPR on outside, the person will die.
Definitely. Now, is there any data that says persons in certain communities or persons at certain economic levels are less likely to know CPR or to be certified or trained in CPR as in others?
Well, certainly in areas where there's lower economic standards, lower educational standards, availability. Now, CPR training itself is easy to do.
Okay.
And it's easy to learn. However, you have to have schools and churches and organizations actually pushing to do the CPR. It is a very simple technique.
Okay.
However, if you take the underprivileged or, you know, underrepresented communities, particularly those communities of color and those communities of low economic standing. Let's take, for example, Appalachia area. You know, that's a common area where there's, you know, it's Caucasian, but it's low economic.
Where's Appalachia area?
Yeah, in Tennessee, you know, like Western Tennessee, you know, Eastern Tennessee, Western North Carolina, you know, Eastern Kentucky, back in your homie, you know.
They need a whole lot.
Yeah, you know, like, there's actually, in those areas, which are predominantly Caucasian, there's a high incidence of Medicaid insurance, low poverty, lack of jobs, et cetera. And in those areas, as in some of the areas of color, particularly in Los Angeles, in brown areas, black areas, there's just not the training. And there's a lot of myths and misconceptions about CPR training, particularly in the area of mouth-to-mouth.
Okay. Let's turn to your event on the 24th.
Now, our event on the 24th, every 3 months, and I want to emphasize that, every 3 months, we give a free community CPR class. And I want to emphasize the word
every
free.
Write that down.
F-R-E-E.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And in order to register for our classes, if you call our office number, which is area code 323-903-5452. Now, if you call that number anytime, we'll tell you when the next CPR class is coming up. Now, our next class is scheduled for Saturday, the 24th of February, from 1 to 5, and that's going to be at Crenshaw United Methodist Church, which is 3740 Don Felipe Drive in Los Angeles.
Okay. And now, what's the cross street?
The cross street would be Stockard and Don Felipe.
Okay.
Yeah, right there. And once again, I'm going to give you this number again.
Okay.
323-903-5452. If you call that number, we'll give you further information. This is, we normally have anywhere between 50 to 75 people at every class.
Okay.
And I wanted to say the magic word, free.
Yeah.
And also, the pre-registration is required.
You must call that number to get in so you get a spot.
Okay.
We're going to have refreshments there. Interesting enough, we're raffling off free 3 Clipper tickets, and a gift certificate to Doolin's Soul Food Restaurant. So we have 2 raffles going, and it's free, plenty of refreshments. Our aim is to get you educated, so in all likelihood, there will be a situation in your home or your church where someone needs CPR, and you need to be trained.
Okay.
The figures show that those communities that are trained in CPR, you're more likely to save a patient.
Okay. So what we'll do is also, ladies and gentlemen, we will be posting the flyer up on our page, on our Facebook page, and the flyer has all of the information of the location and the time and all of the thing associated with it.
Right, and you can follow us on social media, like us, and follow us at The Raymond Hall Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, the SoundCloud, where you can listen when you're working out or any time of the day. Watch The Raymond Hall Show live by going to Morris Media Studios Live. In the upper left-hand corner, you click there, and you can watch us live while we're on the air from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., we're streaming live. So that's just some also additional ways in which you can stay in contact with the Raymond Hall Show. Okay. Next, we're going to be
now
talking
that's,
about...
That's, hold on a minute. That's important because when we did our impromptu survey some time ago, one of the number one issues was access and ease of access. And after the show last week, we were with the engineer, my friend Felicia, for some time, and she actually showed this. It can't get any easier. It really can't.
Right, just, because the button is right
it's
there.
It's right there
at the top.
That says live. Mm-hmm. Now, one drawback is that if Raymond Hall is not here for it to be live, you're not going to get live. But the Raymond Hall Show broadcast is scheduled from 2 to 3 every Thursday. And all you have to do is go to Morris Media Live and click on that button and you will get our show live. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Also, what I wanted to do right now is in honor of Black History Month, just give you a quote from a young lady that we all know. Her name is Dr. Maya Angelou. And what she quotes is, "You may encounter many defeats, but you must not be defeated."
Right.
And it's sweet and short. And straight to the point.
Yeah.
Again, you may encounter many defeats, but you must not be defeated. And that's by Dr. Maya Angelou. Just a little small quote for in honor of our Black History Month recognition.
She's one of my all-time favorite authors. I mean, as a kid, I must have read this book a thousand times.
Wow.
But she wrote a book, Now I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. I just love that book.
Right. You can appreciate her so much more now, you know, from the things that she says because, it's ever-present.
Yeah. Well, when I read the book, I was living in Tennessee. She was talking about Mississippi. Our upbringing roots was in Mississippi. And it was just like she was talking about a trip. You know, back in the day, everybody just loaded up. You know, road trip. Everybody.
Yep, there you go.
Piled in the car.
And you're going down to Mississippi or Arkansas or somewhere. And I just love her. I love all of the work that she's done, and it one of the things that I will always cherish is to see her when she participated in the ceremonies for both President Clinton,
and Barack,
Barack Obama. I love that. Okay, so now let's talk for a few minutes about the American Legion Post 109. I want to share something with you that's very important. Veterans make up 10% of the nation's population. Some you can go and you can do 11%, 10%, that kind of thing. But clearly, it's a good 10% of the nation.
Okay.
And it's one thing that binds us all, and that's service. Okay, it has nothing to do with the little paycheck you get or anything else. At the core of the thing is it's about service. Dr. Payne has a unique position, or had a unique position in active service, and I've shared that with him and a few others because we were on different sides of the street.
Okay.
Okay, and he's helped me, but it was tough sometimes.
Right.
Because he was a part of a healing
process
when you get hurt. Somebody, look for them.
Right.
That wasn't my job.
He was the cause to hurt.
He was just following his orders, okay, as military men and women do.
Right. But I used to wonder, for me to live to say that sitting to my left, I can truly say is a great man. He's a friend of mine. He's one of my best friends. I can talk to him about any number of things, and especially difficult things. To know that he's at the helm of American Legion Post 109. Now, I want to share something with you all. It was okay to have the American Legion post. Now, we know this can go all over the world, so let me give it a little foundation.
Okay.
Everybody in L.A. knows Jackie Robinson Post.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It was okay for the American Legion to give us a post where we could go get drunk and get stupid.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the easiest thing to do to be authorized to have a
faith-based
post.
Okay.
So while we're talking about history and black history, some history is not so distant. Some history is as recent as yesterday. Mm-hmm. But the minute you move the dynamic, it's history.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So we have here in the studio someone that has helped move that dynamic. And I just personally wanted to thank you. And that's why you always hear me talking about Mr. Johnny Morris. Mm-hmm. He's one of those persons that helped move that dynamic. He's not ancient history.
Right.
He's a living his
a
thing
living
is
legend.
Here.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a living legend. His things is right here. So as commander of Post 109 and as commander of a post that's in the heart of the city, where we have challenges that most posts don't, you know, I want to thank you here publicly, and I want you to talk to us about what American Legion Post 109 is doing.
Well, first of all, Brother Raymond, I want to thank you for your service.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, those were extremely difficult times in the 60s, you know, and extremely
70s.
Difficult. 70s.
Yeah.
70s.
Yeah.
I give him the brother a little couple of extra years, but he's not that old. He's a young blood.
Yeah.
And so, but I want to thank you for your service, period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am Commander American Legion Post 109, and as Mr. Hall stated earlier, there were some powerful forces 7 years ago that did their best to block us from forming this faith-based
post.
American Legion Post. Not only that, once we gained the right to create the post, they wanted to put our posts in the same district and area where all the other Afro-American posts were, and which was okay, but we wanted to branch out a little bit. We wanted to be in a larger district. They fought it tooth and nail.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and because we are actually in the same district where the two richest posts in the country are, Hollywood Post 43, which is in Hollywood.
Right.
They have the backing.
Incredible.
Billions of dollars.
Incredible.
They have
really?
Parking.
Really?
They have parking lots. They own Exercise Club, all the parking, the Greek Theater, Hollywood Bowl.
Wow.
They lease it out.
Uh-huh.
And the and then the other post is Pacific Palisades,
okay.
Right. Which is huge. Last year, Pacific Palisades post gave $1 million to the Boy Scouts on the west side.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Not in the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful in the sense they gave it.
But
they
but
made
not,
sure
not,
the money was not, allocated to the west side
right.
Boy Scouts, which is not a scouting district of people of color.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They gave
right.
Them, so they fought tooth and nail to keep us out of that district. And but
so
we won
in
that.
The interest of time,
yes.
what are we doing
what are we,
on
February
12th?
Okay, what are we doing? You know, our motto is we serve all vets.
Okay.
And what we do, we assist veterans in filing disability claims, finding suitable housing, employment, and just the opportunity to share camaraderie with one another.
Right.
One of the good things about the military and service, you develop a sense of camaraderie.
Okay.
And oftentimes, what our vets want to do, they just want to kick it with the boys, kick it with the guys they spent, you know, a combat time with years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we offer in our post is camaraderie, because we are a faith-based post. We're probably the only post in California that doesn't have a bar.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but
wow.
We have deep faith, because
right.
Most posts have bars,
yeah.
But we don't have a bar,
yeah.
But we have faith. And so those are the things we do. This coming Monday night, the 12th of February, from 6:30 to 8:30, once again at Crenshaw United Methodist Church, we're having our monthly meeting. And this particular meeting is a meet and greet social hour.
Okay.
We're calling for all the vets in the area, whether or not you're a member of the American Legion or not, to come out to our meet and greet, to our social hour, just to kind of enjoy some good food, have some camaraderie, talk about the good old days. If you want to wear your old unit citation or your jacket or your hat, bring it out. What we want to do is, number one, we want to thank you for your service.
Right.
And number two, we want you to feel comfortable that you can kick it with some of the buddies that you were with a year, years ago. You know, we have members from the Iraq War, Afghanistan War. We have a huge amount of members from the Vietnam War. We even have Korean War veterans.
Wow.
And we have the one of the oldest living black Afro-American females from World War II, who's 93 years old. She served in the military back in World War II, and she's part of our post. Right. Very sharp, very active female. We have female members. And so I invite all the veterans in the area to come out to our our social hour.
Okay.
You can give me a buzz at 310-560-9292. Once again, 310-560-9292, and we'll give you further information. Plus, the flyer will be on the website of the Raymond Hall Show.
Yeah, we'll have that up. And remember now, we're streaming. You can find us on YouTube. So if you miss those numbers, you'll be able to go back and see that information. We want to thank Dr. Payne for his continued work in the community. That house call with Dr. Payne, man, that is something else.
Well, you know, that was that we discussed a number of different topics, and I appreciate you informing people about that particular show. We do the house calls every 2 or 3 months, and when we schedule our next event, we'll make sure that Mr. Hall's show gets a flyer. You can put it up and you can gather, because we want to inform people of some of the healthcare disparities in the community.
Right.
That's why we take issues that are pertinent to our community and we discuss them. Because oftentimes, as you remember, years and years ago when we saw the doctor, we our doctors were Smith and Washington and Hall and you know, and Jones. Now they have long 18 syllable names. No reflection on their ability, you know, but oftentimes they have accents, they have long names, and some of
different
our older
culture.
Brothers and sisters kind of, you know, they come in there and they see you and they take out their iPad and say, here, Ms. Smith, here's 4 prescriptions. And they go to the next room.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to always be supportive of all of the efforts of you and your colleagues and everything
else.
We're going to take a quick break before we wrap it up with these last minutes that we got. We know we got 5 minutes, so we're not going to go to it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go straight to our highlight.
Okay, our highlight is we're continuing to focus on February Black History Month. In preparation for that day, for today's show, we're going to talk about a historical contribution of an African American young lady that is a female inventor, and her name is actually, it's Black History Month female inventor, Mary Anderson. And Mary Anderson invented the windshield wiper.
Wow.
Right.
Now, this is prior to Mary Bell. It's prior to the manufacture of Henry Ford's Model A. Mary Anderson was granted her first patent for a window cleaning device in November of 1903. Imagine that. Her invention could clean snow, rain, and sleet from the windshield by using the handle inside the car. Her goal was to improve driver vision during stormy weather. Mary Anderson invented the windshield wiper, and this is our focus on Black History Month and a black female inventor, which is very interesting.
Yeah. We often talk about the contributions of African-American men, and just like everything else, whether you talk about wars or anything else, the female contribution sometimes gets lost. There's a young sister that's one of only two PhDs out of Alabama that she invented this thing to use the laser to cut away cancer.
Right.
Young sister.
Yes. Right. Very young.
You know, so history is not always way back.
Right. It's ever present.
Now, in the research, what was so interesting about that one, and I'm thinking, and you know, when you read this, it's a much more longer article that has to do with it. But when you're thinking about all of these men that's, you know, stopping and having to wipe the water, and she's sitting back there. This is what we're talking about service. Sometimes your service is because of an opportunity you see. And she's sitting there and she sees men having to wipe away stuff on the windshield and open the window and wipe it away and wipe the snow away. And she sits there and comes up with something
amazing
that lets them move the snow and ice and stuff from inside and gets a patent.
Incredible.
Right. And she got a patent. Imagine that. She applied for a patent in 1903. As a solution, she invented a swing arm device with a rubber blade that would operate by the driver from within the vehicle.
Right.
Wow.
So
it's incredible.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
So now the men driving, they are driving and open the thing and went in, and she's sitting there and she created. I thought that that was just absolutely
a remarkable story.
A remarkable story. Now, in the last few minutes, we got a couple other things coming up. One of the things that's very important is that Sebastian Wrigley Thomas, for health reasons, resigned from the assembly in the 54th.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we had invited Leveda Theus to come and talk to us about that special election process. Well, she's still under the weather, so in the coming time, she's going to talk about that to us. Now, that's very important because remember, your assembly people, they chair committees. So he chaired two committees that are very important.
Yes,
and remember,
these
are the people that bring stuff back to the community. They bring the resources and stuff back to the community.
Right.
They're our voice that we can. His office is right there at, or was right there at Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Right there on Crenshaw. So he's right here in the community. So we're looking forward to having that back. I want to talk a minute, half a minute, about a senior salute.
Okay.
The senior salute season has opened, and I want you to go to the senior salute website. That's www.aseniorsalute.com. It's real simple, aseniorsalute.com. And here's what has happened. I'm not going to talk about what's going on in Washington, D.C. That's reaction. I'm talking about action now. Look around you. Last week, we spoke about your uncle who was a part of that regiment in New York.
Right.
And the story that you heard from your childhood wound up to be very true. Honorable men that served the nation and started a change. Well, you have people in your household, in your community, who served the nation and has come back and served in the community. We would like to make sure that your community is strengthened by the knowledge of their service. So go to the website, go to aseniorsalute.com, and if you're willing to do the work, find out who it is in your community who honorably served the nation and came back and continued to serve in their community. Who helped to put that school? Who advocated for a park? Who advocated for cross signs, so crossing signs so people would be okay? Let us know, and we will talk to you about coming into the community and doing a senior salute. And we want a senior salute to be often done throughout the nation so the nation would be strengthened by the knowledge of who's giving service in the community and what that service is. Dr. Payne, again, we thank you so very much for each and every thing.
Certainly my pleasure.
Okay.
Certainly my pleasure.
Mrs. Walker, as always.
Yes, thanks a lot for being with us today. To each and every person listening to the sound of our voice, we want to say, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at theraymondhallshow.com. And also, you can watch us at Morris Media Live Studios, streaming live from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Tuesday of every single week. We're going to wrap it up the show today with one more quote for Black History Month, which is from Dr. Martin Luther King. And it is as follows. Our lives begin and end when we become silent about the things that matter. And that's a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King. We're honoring our Black History Month, all the ancestors of shoulders who we stand on. Their broad and fervent work and prayers that we move forward in. And again, that was a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King. One more time, our lives begin and end when we become silent about the things that matter. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. My name is Erica Flynn Walker, and this is The Raymond Hall Show.
Thank you so very much. We look forward to seeing you next week. Have a good evening.
Ta-ta.